Speaking on this program is Brother Kevin Fee.
The next question for our consideration tonight deals with intercession. What is meant by the biblical term intercession? First, we want to define the historical meaning with regard to the word. The Greek term that is employed suggests the idea of making an appeal for someone with regard to another. Someone speaking on the behalf of someone else or standing up for someone else is oftentimes the way in which it is employed. It can mean to make an appeal against another, as it is given in the book of Acts chapter 25 and verse 22 with reference to the Apostle Paul in that context. But then also normally it means to refer, it refers to the making of an appeal for another, and this is brought forth from the Old Testament Scripture in Genesis chapter 18 and verse 23 and following, Exodus chapter 32 and verse 31 and 32, and then in 1 Kings chapter 18 verses 36 and verse 37. In the New Testament, we're given some biblical examples. In John chapter 17, and that ought to be verse 15, by the way, if you've got the PowerPoint, the Lord pled to God on the behalf of His disciples. Turn with me to John chapter 17, where Jesus has prayed for Himself to begin with. John chapter 17, verses 1 through verse 5. And then He prayed for the disciples or the apostles in verses 6 through verse 19. And then later He prayed for those who would believe on His name, and that would include you and me. As He has prayed for or in praying for the apostles, note what is said in verse 15. And I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the world. Jesus is making intercession here for the apostles. He loved these men. He wanted these men to be able to be found faithful before our God in the day of judgment. And He realized the serious and grave possibilities that awaited them in a world that did not know God. And therefore, a part of His prayer before He was crucified on the cross and eventually ascended into heaven was for the apostles, interceding for them through prayer unto the Father, that the Father would not take them out of the world. Why? Because they had roles and responsibilities to go forth and to proclaim God's message into the lost and dying world. And we see that indeed they took that responsibility the day of Pentecost and even beyond. But in this, He says, but that you should keep them from the evil one. In other words, that God would continue to watch out for these individuals as they were working. And then another instance that we have is in the book of Romans chapter 8 and verse 26. In the context there, the Apostle Paul is speaking to the Christians that have been brought to Christ in Rome. I mentioned in our class this morning that some even of Caesar's household or palace was able to be brought to Rome. And we get this from some of the Apostle Paul's epistles in the New Testament Scripture. And in this, what we learn with reference to the context is that Paul is writing in chapter 8 to identify a need to continue to walk in the Spirit, by abiding in the Spirit. And that if we live according to God's will, is that we will know whether or not we are truly children of God, because the Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit. Friends, in the first century, it's possible, and in fact, likely, from time to time, is that the Holy Spirit did that in a very direct manner, through means of miracles, to identify to people that indeed, whether or not they were children of God. But today, you and I know that the Holy Spirit does not perform miracles. We know that the Holy Spirit does not operate directly upon us. So therefore, the way in which this is accomplished is by our reading and studying the Word of God and examining our lives to see whether or not we live and walk according to the will of God. Therefore, we will know whether by comparison of what the Scripture teaches to our lives, if indeed we are children of God. Then I want us to come down to verse 26. Likewise, now He moves on to them being able to pray and our being able to pray. He says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. In regard to the way in which this should be understood, when they were praying in the first century, there would have been times where that their emotions would have been wrapped up in whatever situation or circumstance that has led them to go to God in prayer. You and I would also face similar instances or events in our lives where that emotionally we may be distraught, but yet at the same time we have enough knowledge about us to where that we turn to God in prayer, and we may say things that are all mumbled, jumbled up, if you would, not be able to come out with the words exactly the way that we might want to express ourselves, or that we would if we're not in such a situation. And in those circumstances, hence, and even beyond, probably certainly beyond what I'm capable of understanding, the Spirit of God makes intercessions unto our Heavenly Father on our behalf. I will say, indeed, it goes before our Heavenly Father because we know that that is the direction of which we must pray. Not only do we understand that the Holy Spirit is involved in making intercessions for us, but our Lord in like figure is involved in this. In the context, we understand is that He is the mediator through whom we do pray. Hence, therefore, during our prayers, we pray in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Another instance that we find with regard to this term intercession is given in the context of 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through verse 4. The Apostle Paul is writing to Timothy, the young evangelist, and he is instructing him in the context, beginning in chapter 1 and beyond, the things that are essential for him to share with a brethren as he is going about preaching the Word of God. And one thing that he was to understand himself, but also that which was to be shared amongst the church, is that prayer, supplication, and intercession is to be made for all men. And specifically in the context, it is for kings and for those who are in authority. Therefore, the saints in prayer. And oftentimes, when we think with regard to intercession, it is in prayer. In prayer, we are to make intercession for our civil leaders even unto this very day. Well, what type of a prayer might we pray? I will suggest that it would be fitting, and in fact, I believe that it would be beneficial for us to pray unto our Heavenly Father for our leaders, that while they, the majority of them, do not know our God and do not have a relationship with Him, is that maybe something would happen in their life, or maybe something or someone would be able to get to them that would wake them up. But even while they may not know our God, is that they might be able to be influenced by godly people to lead us according to God's will. Hence, we're making intercession in regard to through our prayer, in regard to the way in which they would lead us as a nation or as a people.